feet and daylight unto my path. And a light unto, a light unto my path, my path.
Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. On our last Searchlight program, we saw that David had put himself in a real bad spot. In our story in 1 Samuel 29, David was living in Philistine territory, the land of the enemy. He was tired of being chased by Saul, who was trying to kill him, and thought that he could find relief with his enemy, the Philistines. We learned that it is always a mistake to become involved with the enemy, and this is proving true in David's case. He had made friends with Achish, the Philistine king of Gath. Now Achish was calling upon David to join the Philistines in battle against Israel. This would be a disaster for David. Fortunately, God comes to the rescue. As we join Pastor John today, we will see how this story works out. But more importantly, we will learn a very valuable lesson about trusting in God. Here now is Pastor John.
Look at the man who is exalted above all others in the Old Testament, David. And yet we see in him there was weaknesses, but his heart was a heart of passion towards the Lord. I like that. I'm thankful for that. So Achish says, David, you've never done anything wrong. Little did Achish know. Little did Achish know that David was doing all sorts of stuff behind his back. David, you've been trustworthy and loyal. You've been good. But hey, it's the other guys that don't trust you. So return now and go in peace, that you displease not the lords of the Philistines. Now, David, verse 8, said to Achish, but what have I done? Why? What hast thou found in thy servant so long as I have been with thee to this day, that I may not go fight against the enemies of my lord, the king? Why can't I go and... Now catch this. This is an amazing little vignette. This is an incredible story. David, God is rescuing you from doing what you don't want to. What's that? Kill your countrymen. David, that's not your heart. It'll be a disaster if you do. That's not what you want. We know that about you. So what are you doing? When Achish says, okay, David, you've been a loyal guy, trustworthy. I can count on you. Yeah. But you know, it's the other lords and leaders that don't really have much faith in you. So sorry, David, you'll have to go. Why? How come? Let this not be so. Let me stand with you, king, and fight against the men of Israel. David didn't want to do that. I know. But it's kind of like Ben and Mary, kind of like our kids, you know. It's funny. A couple nights ago, I asked one of the kids, I won't say which one, to feed the dog. It was late at night. It was raining outside and all the rest. And they had this discussion, this debate, this interaction about whose turn it was to really feed the dog, you see. And back and forth it went, and the voices got a little bit higher and the feelings got a little bit hotter as they were debating, discussing whose turn it was to feed Sam, my dog, you see. Well, finally, I said, I'll do it. So I went to the kitchen, grabbed the can opener and the dog food can and all the rest. At that time, you wouldn't have believed. No, I'll do it, Ben said. No, let me do it, Mary said. No, and they began to just trip, both desperately wanted to do it. But they really didn't want to. But when they couldn't, when I stepped in, then all of a sudden they wanted to. And I suggest to you the same thing's true with David. You're saying, how's that? David didn't want to fight his countrymen. He knew that he was destined to be king over them. But yet, when you can't do so, you know, it's like if somebody says, you know, you can't do this. Sorry, I'd like, but you can't. Even if you didn't want to before, then you really, hey, what do you mean I can't? Yes, I can. You see? Interesting how this fleshy thing kicks in. Hey, I can do that. You can use me. I'll help you. I'll be effective in the battle, you see. Note this with me. This is interesting. What got David in trouble with Saul? A song that they sang on the streets of Israel. Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed 10,000s. The song that got David in trouble initially. The song that caused Saul to be envious and jealous and feel all kinds of hostility. The song that got this whole ball rolling, you see, was the song that was ultimately used to save David from doing what would have been a disaster for David. Spiritually, politically, in every way, you see. See, God is the great orchestrator. He is the master. He is the composer of the symphony of my life, and yours too. And there might be a song that is penned by him that we say, oh, this is awful. Why is this happening to me? Why are they saying those things? Or Lord, why is that worked out the way that it's being worked out? I don't understand. It's got me in trouble. It's a problem. It's awful. Only to find down the road that same song is what ultimately saved me. Saved you, saved us from a greater disaster. See, we might think, oh man, that's a sour song. The notes are flat. It's off key. It's out of tune. It's awful, you see. Like when I listen to you sing, John, it's just terrible. But in reality, the very same song that seems to be sour and off key, out of tune, awful, you see, proves down the road to be the very thing that God will often use to rescue us from a disaster that otherwise would have been. It's the same song given here in verse 5, the song that got David in trouble initially is now the song that saves David from killing his countrymen, you see. Because of that song, hey, we heard that song, that top 10 tune. The song played everywhere on Radio Philistine across the country, you see. We've heard it everywhere. Saul killed thousands, but David killed 10,000s. We can't have him in battle. Get him out of here. David, you got to go. I don't want to go. Achish said, verse 9, to David, I know that thou art good in my sight. I know you're a good guy, David. As an angel of God, notwithstanding, the princes of the Philistines have said, he shall not go up with us to battle. So rise up early in the morning with your master's servants that are come with you. And as soon as you be up early in the morning and light breaks, depart. So David and his men rose up early in the morning to return into the land of the Philistines. And the Philistines went on their way up to Jezreel to battle the Israelites that day. Now, pause here and think carefully. This is wonderful, and it's important, and it's huge for me personally. David was rescued by the Lord and held back from doing something which he would have regretted all the days of his life, that would have changed history for David personally and the nation of Israel in reality. But God stepped in, even though David was blowing it badly. He defected from Israel. He's with the Philistines as he ought not to be. He's offering to fight with Achish against his countrymen, as incredible as that might seem to me. Even though David is in a bad place and doing wrong stuff, yet God steps in and rescues him. See, this story is about God's faithfulness. I might get myself in all sorts of predicaments. I might get myself in all kinds of jams because of my stupidity, because of my fleshly tendencies, because of my rebellion. But even when I mess up, God doesn't walk away or turn from me. He steps up, he moves in, and he is faithful when we are faithless, as the scriptures tell us. And it amazes me. We look back over our lives, and time again, we can see when we were, oh, Lord, I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have been there, or I shouldn't have been a part of this, or manipulated that, or pulled strings here, or whatever it might be. Lord, I can look back and see lots of places and lots of times when I was an idiot, when I wasn't in the heart of your country, the center of your will, but was doing my own excursions, doing what I thought seemed to be clever or right or perhaps pragmatically necessary. But Lord, even though I'm an idiot, even though I get myself in jams, I can recall. First time I was on TV, third grade. Den 1, Cub Scouts, there in Campbell, California, went to the local San Jose TV station at 4 in the afternoon to watch a live presentation of Hocus Pocus. Hocus Pocus was a cartoon show, and Hocus Pocus himself was a big clown, you know, with the red nose, the tall hat, the big shoes, the whole thing. And Hocus was there. I think the guy was really strange, but be that as it may, as I look back, I wonder about him. But he was there, and the cameras were rolling, and we were there in the little bleachers, Den 1, with our den mother. Cub Scout uniforms on, little hats and gold ties and all the rest, gold scarves. And Hokey, that was what we called him, Hokey, the clown, Hocus Pocus, said, "Okay, who has a joke to tell?" And I thought, here's my opportunity. I'm on the way. The Lord has opened doors for me. So I raised my hand and said, "Hokey, Hokey." And Hokey said, "Okay, what's your name?" And I said, "I'm John. And I have a joke. And I can recall this perfectly." And Hokey said, "Okay, what's the joke?" And I said, "What did one strawberry say to the other strawberry?" And Hokey said, "I don't know. What did one strawberry say to the other strawberry?" And I said, "If you weren't so fresh, we wouldn't be in this jam." That was my joke. I look back on that, and I say, how prophetic. I say, you know, Lord, it's true. In my life, over these years, I can see time after time, when I was in a jam, emotionally, relationally, spiritually, financially, vocationally, whatever it might be. And there's one common factor that I'm thrilled to share with you tonight. God is faithful to move in and to make things right, to work things out. God is plain old, downright, flat out faithful. And you know what I'm here to tell you tonight? I trust him. I trust him. I trust him not because I've got my act together, not because I know lots of Bible scriptures, not because my theological knowledge is expansive. I trust him for one reason. He's proven himself to be trustworthy. You know something? I'm convinced of this. The greatest thing that we can give to our God, the greatest gift that we can bring Him, the greatest thing that we can give to Him is trust, where we say, Lord, it's not about me, how worthy I am or worthless I am. It's not about how good I've been or how bad I might be. It's about you, that no matter whether I'm faithful or faithless, whether I'm good or bad, glad or sad, you do exactly what you promised to. What did He promise? He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I will cause all things to work together for good to those that love me. And we do. Jesus looked at His boys that night, and it was a very unsettling evening. One of the boys would betray Him. His name was Judas. Jesus let that be known that evening. Another would deny Him. The Pope, Peter, would end up denying Him. They were in confusion. They were troubled greatly. There's a betrayer among them, a denier. Jesus, told these guys that all of you were going to run away. And then Jesus dropped the bombshell when He said that evening, I'm leaving. And all of that shook them to the core. They didn't know the rest of the story like we do. All they knew was that Jesus was going to leave them and going to die, and Judas, one of them, was going to betray Him, and Peter was going to deny Him, and others were going to run from Him. And then Jesus said, don't be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Don't be troubled. You're going to be betraying and denying and fleeing and running, but don't be troubled. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Believe in God. Not believe theologically, not believe intellectually, but really believe that God is who I have taught you that He is. He's your Father who cares about you, who numbers the hairs on your head, who cares about every detail of your life, who loves you so much that He gave His own Son to die, that whoever believes should not perish but live eternally. Jesus said that to those guys in that room, in that context of denial and betrayal and arguing over the greatest, over who was the greatest, in great pride and arrogancy. He said, don't be troubled. Trust me. Believe in God. Believe in me. There's a plan being unfolded. There's a process being worked out. I'm going to heaven. You'll be there too. And the Holy Spirit, I'm going to give the Holy Spirit to you, He said in John 14. And you can pray anytime you want. And if you ask in my name, it'll come to you. It'll be sent your way. The best thing, what's right for you. And folks, tonight, I guess that's the message that I want to share from my heart with you. You can trust Him. But John, I'm in the Philistine camp. I've sold out. I'm with Achish. I'm in Gath. I even was ready to kill my brothers and sisters. I've dropped the ball. I've missed the mark. The Lord would say to you and to me and to us tonight, trust in me. It's the greatest gift you can give. See, anybody can say, oh, Lord, I love you. And we do. It's something else, much more meaningful, to say, Lord, I trust you. I think it thrills the heart of the Father. I know that when my kids were growing up in my house, they trusted me that there'd be food in the refrigerator, that the lights would be on in the evening, that there'd be clothes in the closet or on the floor, in Peter's case particularly. But you know what? My kids trusted in their dad. Whether they were good or bad, doing well or not as well as they ought to be, I'm their dad. I love my kids. And I'll be there for them. And I'll take care of them to the best of my ability. But if they were doubting that and checking the fridge 5 times a day, wondering, oh no, is there food in there? Not to get something to eat, but just doubting my ability to provide. You see, oh Dad, we love you, but you're not going to feed us tomorrow, are you? We love you, Lord, but you're not going to take care of us, are you? The Lord would say to you, to me tonight, even when things aren't going very well, even when you're not doing what's right, I'm there. And I'm not going to turn away. You say, but he did from Saul. That's because Saul had no heart for God. He wasn't interested in God. He turned his back on God in such a way where he said, I don't want God in my life. If that's where you're at, then you're in trouble. If you say, I don't want God, let him be removed from me eternally, then that's a different matter. But if you're here tonight and you say, no, I would like the Lord to be directing my steps and I want to be in heaven with him eternally, trust the Lord. I leave you with this and we're through. Listen to what David wrote at this time from Psalms. Just listen, if you would, please. Psalm 56, when David was dealing with the Philistines in this situation, as the notation says, under the psalm title or heading. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God have I put my trust. So I will not fear what flesh can do to me. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into a bottle. Are they not in thy book? In God will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what flesh can do to me. Lord, I trust you that you'll be faithful to see me through. He has, he does, he always will. That's the great news for me and you. May the Lord cause you to be one who trusts in him. Whether or not you're where you should be, ought to be, or want to, this one thing, I promise you, he is trustworthy. And it's not about how good we've been or how deserving we might think we are. It's not about that a bit. It's about who he is. And I leave this sanctuary tonight and I go on my way this evening and I just say, Lord, I'm so grateful that you're my father. That when I'm in Gath and when I'm in a jam, Lord, you preserve me. You always have. You always do. You always will. He's faithful. And I'm grateful. Aren't you?
Yes, we are very grateful. God is worthy of our trust because he is always faithful. Let's trust in him today.
This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com.
Pastor John has often encouraged us to spend time each day contemplating the Word of God. One great way to do this is with a daily devotional. Pastor John has put together 3 daily devotionals that cover the entire Bible. A Pillar by Day and A Day of Feasting are taken from the Old Testament. A Day's Journey is a devotional from the New Testament. Each daily devotional has 365 short meditations and are presented in John's insightful and practical style. You may order each daily devotional from our website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.